This month we're talking about choosing to live, and the message this morning is Garden of Thought, our Garden of Thought. And when you look up garden, when you Google the images of garden, you come up with beautiful gardens like the one that we had during our meditation that are exquisite. And there are all sorts of gardens. There are rock gardens, there are flower gardens, there are vegetable gardens, et cetera, et cetera. My first experience of having a garden was when I was a kid. We always had gardens, and of course, all of us helped weed the garden. And there were five of us, so it meant there was a lot of help. And not all of us were familiar with hoes and so on, so we knew what to do. We knew how to plant. We knew how to weed. When I was 22 or 23, we moved from the hometown area to a little village of maybe 5,000 people, and we rented a bungalow, and there was a huge garden patch. And so my grandma, who was still living, came and helped me get some seedlings started. By the time 2 weeks after she left, they had all died. So that's hint number one. And then we planted the garden and planted just the favorite things, which would be corn and potatoes and peas and beans, nothing else. And it was a big, huge garden. And then I decided to go to summer school in a city about 70 miles away, and I stayed overnight with my cousin. So no one looked after the garden from July 1st till September. It was wild. It was full, and not one of those things that we planted was recognizable. The rows weren't recognizable. What was recognizable were some of the weeds, but since I was so new to this whole thing by myself, I didn't know which were in May when I could have, actually we didn't plant until mid-June because it was Saskatchewan, Canada, but even by the 1st of July, there were things coming up, but I couldn't tell what was weed and what was a desirable vegetable. So we just let them all grow. And I think that's a great metaphor for our garden of thought. Because often we think that, oh, well, I'll just plant a good idea on Sunday and that'll be sufficient. And then from Sunday at 1 o'clock on, we plant weeds, and we don't tend our garden. And if we don't tend our garden of thought, it's going to produce whatever is the sum total of our consciousness, whatever it is that we have been thinking about, watching, experiencing, will become form in the outer, and we will experience that. So if you want to know what your garden of thought is right now, examine your life. That's it. It's very simple to do. Look at what's working in your life. Those are the things that you want to cultivate. And look at the things, just as mindfully, of the things that you don't like in your life. Those are the things that you've also been planting that you don't want there. Michael Beckwith said, and I don't know where he got this from, but he said it's been proven scientifically that positive thought is 100 times more powerful than a negative thought. 100 times more powerful. Now, isn't that a great thing to know? What that means is, no, as long as we are planting positive thoughts consistently, they will grow. They will become like weeds in my garden, my 23-year-old garden. They will just grow on their own because they're powerful. Are you planting the right seeds? Are you planting the right seeds often enough? In his wonderful book, This Thing Called Life, Ernest Holmes says, he says, the first thing you must do is to understand who and what you are. That you are not, he doesn't go on to say this for the first point, but I know it, he says it in the rest of the book and in all of his other books, you are not a human doing. You're a human being having a, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. You're a spiritual being. You're greater than anything you can touch, anything you can consciously know. Who you are is greater than that. So the first thing is to know that, that you're a spiritual being and that your thought is creative, no matter what the thought. The second thing to do is to have a relationship with that presence within. To have a relationship, which would say our relationships take time. They take time to nurture, to grow. So we develop a relationship with the presence, and then we consciously and intelligently think about the things we want to bring about or come about. Very simple, very simple. And I'm hearing it all over the heavenly place, aren't you? You're hearing the same thing everywhere you go, if you but listen. Last night I was looking at YouTube videos, and one caught my eye, which was why I stopped watching porn. And the guy was pretty handsome, so I thought I wanted to know this. What? Why did he stop watching porn? And what he said was exactly what we teach. He said what he noticed about himself is he started treating his wife, his partner, as an object because of the porn that he was watching objectifies women. He stopped because he was influenced by what he was watching in a negative way. Do you hear? It's our principle. You can use it for good or ill, but whatever you're planting is going to grow something. And it's going to grow something either that benefits you in life or that does not. So plant the good, plant the beautiful, plant the plant the ideals that you want to experience in your life. And when you make a mistake, say you're sorry and start again. We likely will not go through life remembering who we are all the time, although that's certainly a goal. Remember all the time. But how easy it is for those old ideas that don't serve us to come popping out like a bark. So Diane said she changed the words so that we wouldn't be hearing bark, bark, bark. And yet, that what I found myself doing this morning was barking. And I don't like that about me. I don't like to bark when I want something different. But I do it. God in me does not do that. God in me is flows with the loveliness of time and space. So just to notice, and make a new decision. Make a new decision. So the garden of your thought. You know, you can plant whatever kind you want. It can be a flower garden, a vegetable garden. It can be a garden of prosperity. It can be a garden of friendships. It can be a garden of creativity and new ideas. It can be a garden of anything that you can imagine. The only thing that limits what grows in that garden of thought is you. What are you planting? And what are you digging up? What are you letting crowd out with negative ideas? Even though I've already told you the truth about them, they're not nearly as powerful as your positive ideas. Your positive ideas will win out every time, every time. There's this beautiful, beautiful story, and I know the first time that I read it, I found actually who the originator was. And last time when I tried to look it up, all I found was who told the storyteller. But this is a story of daffodils growing up this mountainside. Miles and miles and miles of daffodils. And here's the story that the important part is that one woman planted this mountainside of daffodils. She did it over 40 years, one bulb at a time. One bulb at a time. She planted these beautiful daffodils so that when she looked out from her mountain cottage, she could see, looking up, she could see this field of daffodils. Wordsworth said, in one of his poems, he said, how my heart thrills to come across a field of daffodils. So, whatever you're planting, it doesn't matter if it takes you 40 years to have exactly what you want. One bulb at a time, one thought at a time, plant what you want to see. Continue to plant it, continue to nurture it. Don't ignore it like I did for the whole summer and let it get overrun. But even then, and we only lived in that little town for 2 years, so even then, the next person that took it over could plant a fabulous garden. The soil was still going to produce whatever is planted. It's not going to say, well, you're taking too good care of me. It's not going to stop anything. It's simply going to do what soil does. Your creative mind is the same way. Whatever you're planting into it will become an experience in your life. The garden of your thought is meant to be a place of beauty, a place of holiness and wholeness. Plant well, weed often, and listen to that creator within you, because the grand design of your life touches everyone else's life with beauty and with good. And so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.